In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. Glad you're joining us today. There is a lot happening here in Oregon as Democrats seem determined to burn Oregon down and rule over the ashes. There's so much to talk about that I'm going to forgo the usual opener, and we're just going to plow right into this. Our guest today is Representative Ed Diehl from House District 17. That's most of Marion County, east of Salem, and some of Linn County as well. Ed, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so one of our main topics of discussion today is going to be HB 2025, the transportation package, because there's some new financial analysis on that that just came out late Thursday night, but we'll get into that in a bit. I'd like to instead start with something that I know has a lot of common sense Oregonians once again embarrassed as Oregon made national news for all of the wrong reasons. And there was, well, to be polite, we'll call it a clown show, since I can't say on air what other people have called it. Looking at you, Carol. There was a drag queen performance at the Capitol in this chamber. I mean, that must have been a lot of fun. So what was that all about? And I was asked to ask you, did Republicans walk out or stay out? And did any Republicans stay for it?
Yeah, if there's one thing that epitomizes the warped priorities that this legislature has and our progressive leadership, it's this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, House Resolution 3 was brought to the floor and voted on, and that celebrates Black drag in Oregon. And as part of that, there was an opening ceremony, a Black drag opening ceremony to go along with that. I think it was an 8-minute ceremony. And most of the Republicans did leave the floor. And whatever you think about drag, it's not appropriate on the floor of the House. That's really it. It's not maybe something at a bar or something like that, but it's not appropriate on the floor of the House. And so a lot of Republicans did leave. I opted not to leave. I stayed. Because I'd love to talk to you about this when we pulled a bill to prohibit boys and girls sports, a lot of the Democrats stomped off the floor, or some of them stomped off the floor during that. I was not going to do that. I stayed, watched the ceremony, and voted no. Voted no. I'm not going to vote to celebrate drag in Oregon.
Did they give Republicans any advance warning that this was going to happen, or did they just spring it on you guys?
No, we knew it was going to happen. We knew the bill was coming to the floor, and we knew that was the plan for the opening ceremony. And we have an opening ceremony almost every day. Sometimes we open in prayer. Sometimes it's a musical artist. Sometimes it's somebody reading poetry. This is the first time we've ever had a drag show. I hope it's the last time.
Really? Well, you know, yeah. What the Capitol actually needs is a fire and brimstone evangelist there to give a sermon on hell and damnation and repentance. Well, but, you know, that's just me.
I've thought about we either, you know, maybe we should celebrate pole dancing next.
Sure, why not?
Or maybe we bring in, maybe we perform an exorcism.
Really?
I think that's my
now that is a great
idea.
Sorry,
my sarcasm level has gotten really high here in the last few days of the session.
I can't blame you. I mean, it's got to be hard to survive there with what's going on. You know, when they want to do that at some gay bar in downtown Portland, you know, fine, whatever. But when they throw it in Republicans' faces, and not just elected Republicans, but that was a message to all Republicans across Oregon at the Capitol. I mean, that is truly offensive.
It's not just Republicans either. This is offensive. I've talked to a lot of women that find this offensive. And what's most offensive is you look at what they're celebrating drag. They're celebrating men in women's face on the floor. But yet when we bring a bill to prohibit males and female sports, they completely dismiss it. They all voted against it. And then they decried us as being mean and cruel. And they said this issue is not even worthy of a public hearing. And that just happened days before this celebration of drag.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of brings me to the next point I had wanted to make, because before we get to the bills and the Democrats tax everything in sight approach, going into the session, there was the potential impact of losing billions of dollars in federal funds because Oregon has refused to give up on its woke ideology, like DEI and this transgender stuff, insisting on taking rights from girls and forcing them to undress in front of biological males before they get beaten and sometimes beat up on the athletic field. And besides the billions, Trump has now pulled back on even smaller funds. And for example, just last month, the Trump administration canceled 4 federal grants that helped pay for community outreach and overpayment recovery at the Oregon Employment Department. So what's the situation there with the federal funds? Did we lose them because of Oregon's woke ideology and this embrace of transgender? Or does that not kick in until next year?
I don't think that has kicked in yet, but it's coming. The health authority has been notified. The Department of Education has been notified. Even the Department of Transportation has been notified that these DEI policies are not acceptable and they will not be providing funding for agencies that have these practices. So we're putting billions of dollars of federal money at risk. And the response by our governor and our attorney general is not to correct. They're just doubling down. Mm-hmm. You know, our Attorney General Rayfield has a website dedicated to all the lawsuits he's bringing against the feds. Yeah. So they're trying to protect this ideology that most Oregonians do not agree with, and frankly, they find offensive.
Yeah.
And then there's issues where the vast majority of Oregonians are aligned. For example, protecting Title IX, defending the dignity of women, keeping males out of female sport. That's a 70-30 issue, maybe an 80-20 issue. And they refuse to even listen to the young women that are so outraged by this and are taking a stand for women.
Yeah, well, you know, I like your pronunciation there of ideology. You called it ideology, which is really close to idiotology, and I think that's probably pretty much puts it on the nose there. Okay, let's go and take a break. You may have already heard how bad HB 2025, the transportation bill, is. Well, it's even worse. Stay with us. That's coming up with State Representative Ed Diehl. And welcome back. This is the Ice Five Radio Show. We're talking with Ed Diehl today. He's the representative from House District 17. That's east of Salem and takes up most of Marion County and also parts of Linn County as well. And we're going to be digging into the HB 2025, the transportation bill, in a bit. But just to give people a sense of what we're going to be talking about, the Oregon House Republicans put out a press release Thursday night that a new financial analysis by the nonpartisan Legislative Revenue Office put a new price tag on it that would make it the largest tax hike in Oregon history, even larger than the corporate activity tax from back in 2021. But this is not a tax on businesses alone. It's going to hit everyday Oregonians and families. But I think for people to really understand what's going on here, I think we need to back up a bit and put into context all of this by looking at the overall business environment so people will be able to better understand the horrid decisions that Democrats are making here. And so let me just run through some stats here. Oregon ranks 5th in the nation for its tax burden. Oregon is 7th worst for business climate. We rank among the most restrictive regulatory environments. The American Legislative Exchange Council, and I know you're a member of that, just last week released a new study, States That Work, which demonstrates how states that respect worker freedom are winning the race for talent and economic growth. Oregon came in 3rd, as in 3rd from the bottom. They ranked 48th in that. Due to its net zero climate change hysteria, Oregon is pushing expensive regulations and fees to solve imaginary problems that will drive up energy costs for businesses and families. In 2028, if nothing changes, the price for natural gas will triple. Speaking of families, business owners also consider the potential living conditions for their employees when they want to cite a business. Oregon is 48th in education. It is dead last in 4th grade math and reading scores. It is 2nd to last in 8th grade scores. We have the 4th highest gas prices in the nation. We have higher than the national average food costs. And when it comes to housing, we are the 12th highest state to rent in, 35% higher than the national average, and 10th highest in the nation to buy a house, 26% higher than the average. So that's the business and living environment here in Oregon. That's the situation. It's not new. Much of that was known before the session started. And Democrats took a look at that, and their solution is we need to do more of that. Let's raise more taxes, spend more, and make things even more expensive with more taxes and fees and regulations. I mean, really?
Their answer was, hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going even farther with it. Yeah, this House Bill 2025 is really going to hammer the middle class. It's in just a few years, it'll be $2 billion a year in new taxes.
Yeah.
And if you figure that across the number of households in the state, on average, for a household, that's $1,140 per household per year in taxes.
Yeah.
And it's who does it hit the hardest? It hits people the hardest that actually have to travel to work.
Yeah.
If you have the luxury.
Everything that you buy basically is delivered on a truck somewhere. So all of that's going to get more expensive. And, you know, we'll dig into the specifics of HB 2025 here in just a bit. But, you know, it just seems like there's no end of bad news for Oregon's business environment. Businesses have been leaving for some time now. And again, this was happening before the start of the session. Oregon has been losing people. And about 6 weeks ago, there was a University of Oregon business survey. It surveyed like 400 respondents, and 25% of those, so 100 businesses, said that they are already thinking about leaving after being approached by other states to relocate there. And the survey found that of those, two-thirds of that 25%, so roughly 17% of businesses surveyed, have either already left or are already in the process of moving significant business operations out of state. This was not hidden news. So why do Democrats see things like that and then not pull back? I mean, why not work to make a better, more welcoming business environment, like emulate what those other states are doing to woo businesses away from here?
It is really baffling to me, but they are doubling down on bad business policy, and they seem to be very proud of it. Hmm. There has been a slew of bad business bills. I mean, that affects the public sector as well. Senate Bill 916 pays unemployment benefits to striking workers. I don't think workers even think that's a good idea. The union members don't even think that's a good idea. They're talking about doing a labor standards board on home health care workers. The home health care workers don't even want that legislation. They don't want a labor standards board. And these are small businesses, mom and pop businesses.
Yes.
Who provide adult foster care and things for a lot of the more vulnerable population in our state. Those are just a couple of many examples of just really bad business bills. And then you look, well, where's the pro-business bills? I don't think any of them have made it. So this situation is only going to get worse. And yes. I was up in Portland a few weeks ago talking at a business roundtable. Those folks, this was downtown Portland. There was desperation in their voices. There really was.
Mm.
And I spoke to a gentleman who bought an Oregon business. He has 100 employees. And he said, I came from New York. I paid plenty in taxes in New York, but I got something for it. I'm here in Portland. I don't get anything for my taxes. Mm. And unless something changes quick, I'm picking up my business and I'm moving it out of the state. And he's serious.
Yeah.
He's dead serious about it.
Well, I'm not surprised, because it's not just, you know, businesses his size, you know, 100 employees. It's a pretty good mid-sized business. There are small mom and pops that are looking at relocating, but there are also major companies that have announced they're moving. Dutch Brothers, that's Oregon's second most valuable business behind only Nike, is moving its headquarters from Grants Pass to Arizona. Tektronix, that's a homegrown company here, very successful. They're leaving. REI announced they're leaving. Adobe abandoned its Portland offices. Ken Footwear is closing its factory. Jeld-Wen is moving its headquarters from Klamath Falls to North Carolina. And now Intel just announced that they're looking to slash 15 to 20% of its factory workforce coming up in July. And that could be 17 to 20,000 workers. They're not saying it's just here in Oregon, but that's apparently all across of their business. So in the wake of bleeding these major businesses, I don't understand the Democrats' thinking here. What are they saying to you as to what's their reasoning on why they're doing this?
They aren't even talking about the business climate. Some of them are. Some of them are. Fortunately, there are some more moderate Democrats that do see what's going on and have been pushing back on some of these extreme bills. And I'm still hopeful that a couple of them will die before the end of the session because of that pushback. But the majority of them are focused on basically doing favors. They're courting, in my opinion here, they are courting unions in a desperate attempt to keep them on their side, because union membership is not happy with a lot of the positions that the Oregon Democrats have taken on some of the moral issues of our day when it comes to boys and girls sports and some other things. And I really believe that the Democrats are in a desperate effort to court those unions, and they're doing whatever they can, whatever they ask. They're trying to push it through the building.
Oh, that's just horrible. It's interesting that you bring up the unions, because I just saw that in New Jersey, there was a major union there that just decided we're not going to endorse the Democrat candidate for governor. We're going to endorse the Republican. And so these Democrats, I can understand they're desperate, but punishing businesses that unions service in many instances, I don't think that's the way to go either.
No.
Okay, buckle up. HB 2025, the transportation bill, the most expensive tax hike in Oregon history, is up next with Representative Ed Deal. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking to Representative Ed Deal from House District 17. That's most of Marion County, east of Salem, and also parts of Linn County as well. And we're talking about this insane session where Democrats have had pretty much no end of business-killing bills to chase even more businesses out of Oregon. Don't like it, Oregonians? Well, perhaps you should stop voting Democrats, because right now what we're seeing is the Democrats' burn-it-all-down approach to both Oregon and Oregonians. It's like they have this overriding philosophy that if you have money, it actually belongs to the government. How dare you steal from the government? So in terms of dealing with this insanity, I think HB 2025 pretty much epitomizes this, because it's not just a punishment on businesses, which has been so much of the focus. And of course, I should remind people, businesses don't pay taxes. They get taxed and then pass those taxes on and those extra costs on to consumers. That's the problem with this that I don't think Democrats are even remotely recognizing. But I'd like to read this from the Oregon House Republicans about HB 2025. They say this, quote, "The nonpartisan Legislative Revenue Office released its revenue impact statement on HB 2025, giving it a price tag of $15.5 billion over 10 years, which would make it the largest tax hike in Oregon's history. The next closest being the 2021 corporate activity tax, which is projected to raise more than $12 billion over 10 years. Although with all of those businesses leaving Oregon, we may not even hit that target. So I guess that means we'll just have to raise even more taxes somewhere else, seeing how there will be fewer businesses to punish with that corporate activity tax. But I digress. Representative Shelley Boshart Davis out of Albany was quoted in that press release saying, quote, "This bill is so out of touch and exactly what you get when you scheme in the basement of the Capitol instead of listening to real Oregonians who tell us every day that the cost of living is their biggest challenge." I mean, this probably explains why the Democrats have canceled two work sessions on HB 2025. Panic is starting to set in. So walk us through this bill. What is the punitive damage that the Democrats are looking to unleash on businesses and everyday Oregonians with this bill?
Yeah, so just in a few years, this amounts to $2 billion a year on working families. And it does. It hits working class families the most, and on average about $1,140 per family, per household. But the gas tax goes up from currently 40 cents a gallon to 55 cents a gallon. Car title fees, about double. There's a payroll transit tax. So I don't know if everybody knows this, but currently part of your paycheck goes to mass transit,
whether you use it or not.
This bill will triple the payroll transit tax. A massive increase. Whether you use it or not, you're paying for it. Car registration fees more than double. There'll be a sales tax. I know you say, what? Oregon doesn't have sales taxes. No. There'll be a sales tax imposed on used cars, and another one on new cars. That's double what the used car sales tax will be. Then there's fees for new driver's license, driver's license renewal, driver's test, all these registrations, permits, and licenses. The fees are going up in some cases 235%.
Wow.
So this is just an across the board massive tax increase. People have to remember, we have record tax revenue this year, this session, record tax revenue this session. And yet they're talking about, on top of that, adding the largest tax increase in Oregon history. Make that make sense.
Yeah.
Make that make sense, because I cannot make it make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense because, again, these are taxes that everyday Oregonians are going to feel when they go to fill up their tanks, but also they're going to feel it when they get deliveries, when businesses have to raise their rates because of all of these things. So they're going to get a double whammy on this. But talk to us about the Oregon's, the Republicans' alternative here, because as I understand it, your guys' solution doesn't raise taxes at all and simply forces ODOT to reallocate existing money to force them to focus on its core.
That's right. We went through and identified several areas within the ODOT budget to get them, let's focus them back on their core mission. And we were able to redirect hundreds of millions of dollars by doing that. And so we could get the ODOT back to basically back to par without any additional taxes, and without actually diving into any additional general fund dollars, just through savings within the agency. And unfortunately, the Democrats this year have had a go-it-alone approach. They have not been interested in finding common ground with us on these big issues, and they've basically just ignored what our recommendations were. And come up with their own. The thing is, though, you hinted on it before, this package that they have does not have support within their own caucus. And that's why this work session has been delayed twice.
Well, as I understand it, Representative Meeks and Senator Paul Evans, who happens to be my senator, are holdouts on this and really reconsidering. I know that Democrat Representative John Lively was quoted in a news article saying that he doesn't think that the Democrats' transportation package would survive if it was ever put to a vote by Oregon voters, so it would fail there. Paul Evans is in a slightly Democrat-leaning district there. Obviously, he's not getting pushback just from Republicans. The Democrats are saying, hold on there.
They are. And there's some other Democrats, too, and I'm not going to name names that have some serious issues with this legislation and are currently no. And I don't see how it's going to get to a yes. Even I'm looking at the latest amendment, I think is a -13 amendment, but it doesn't minimize the financial impact on everyday Oregonians. It moves some money around, but it still has these massive taxes and fees. And Rep. Lively is exactly right. If this bill passes, there will be a repeal effort, and it will be repealed by voters. And if they want to go through all that effort, have at it. I'm going to be there to vote no on this package. And if they want to pass it, it'll be all on them.
Yeah,
and well, they'll have to explain that to Oregon voters.
Well, it's shocking, everything that has happened here, the cumulative effect of it all. And it's hard to find any reason or sense whatsoever in what they're doing. And I've lived here long enough, nearly 30 years, that I shouldn't be surprised by what the Democrats are doing. And then we have this session, which is a surprise and makes no sense given the business environment that was already there at the start of it. And they seem not at all concerned that they are driving businesses out of state, which means they will have even less revenue. And rather than cut things and cut programs, they're doubling down and saying, let's raise taxes on everything. It really is a let's burn everything down and rule over the ashes mentality. All right, still lots more to talk about with Representative Ed Deal from House District 17 right here in the Willamette Valley. Is there anything to wake up Democrats to what is happening to the state? I don't mean elected Democrats. I mean the ones that maybe have a little bit of sense left. We'll pick that up after this. And welcome back. This is the Ask Fire Radio Show. We're talking today to Ed Deal. He's the representative from House District 17. That's the eastern side of Marion County and all parts of Linn County as well. And I should mention that there is just no way we're going to get through everything today. But if you like what you're hearing and want more or have more questions, Ed is having a town hall meeting this Thursday, the 26th, at the Snow Peak Brewery at 6 p.m. in Staten. And Ed, you know, I just am aghast at what we've been hearing here in terms of all of these different fees and the HB 2025. There was another aspect of that, too, that was we had talked with Jen Hammaker a few weeks back about the carbon cap and trade scheme that some Republicans were looking at signing on. And so she got a hold of us and was very worried about this. And just to, in case people didn't hear that show, the carbon cap and trade scheme was going to replace the existing climate protection plan that was done by executive order. And I guess the idea being is that as the climate protection plan is so bad that the Republicans were thinking, and I know that they had been approached by industry as well, that, well, maybe the carbon cap and trade scheme is a slightly less poisonous pill. And to me, I think that's a terrible idea. Because the concept of when it comes to poison pills and you're being offered two of them, the solution is not to take the less poisonous one, it's to reject both of them. And I think in order for Democrats here in Oregon to start feeling, understanding what it means to be ruled by Democrats is they've got to start suffering that pain personally. And that climate protection plan, if that continues its phase in 2028, after the 2026 elections, your gas bills will triple. Because of the fees will make the gas so expensive that it'll go from $100 a month, according to industry analysts, it'll go from $100 a month to $300 a month. And so I say that Republicans should not sign up for either one of those and let Democrats here in Oregon start seeing what it really is like to live under Democrat rule, because otherwise they're just not ever going to make that connection mentally. And maybe once they do, maybe they'll finally start voting differently.
I couldn't agree with you more. The CPP is terrible. Not only is it going to jack up all those taxes and fees for folks, it routes the money through a nonprofit that called Seeding Justice. That is just people should look up Seeding Justice and look at what they fund. And so it wouldn't be used for anything that we would find that we would agree with.
What they fund, it doesn't have anything to do with climate change, and yet they're getting money from climate change.
They'd be getting hundreds of millions of dollars from this. And so industry thought, well, that's terrible. It will destroy some industry, and the CPP will. But don't take a terrible policy and make it less terrible by doing a Washington and California style cap and trade program. And that's what some of my colleagues were thinking about doing. And when I learned about it, our Freedom Coalition came out as a hard no, no way. And I proceeded to call lobbyists and talk to folks and talk to the Oregon Republican Party and do outreach and say, do not go along with this. We have to fight this. This is not an acceptable compromise. What they were talking about doing is what people walked out about.
Yes.
Several years ago, the whole cap and trade thing. We fought tooth and nail not to do that. And here we had some people thinking, well, you know, we're bent over a barrel. This is the best we can do. No. Don't do a less terrible policy. Fight the bad policy on its face and kill it. And if the governor wants to go ahead with the CPP as written, it will destroy certain businesses. It will be devastating to everyday Oregonians who are paying for their utilities. Maybe that's what it takes to wake up Oregonians.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the point where something drastic needs to happen, I think, to finally make them wake up.
Yeah.
So looking at the HB 2025, this massive tax increase, the largest in Oregon history. You got the cat tax. You've got businesses leaving Oregon in droves, major businesses leaving. At any point in the session, did it ever occur to any Democrat that maybe, just maybe, we ought to cut spending? Or was it entirely damn the taxpayers, full spending ahead?
There were no discussions of spending cuts. Not that I'm aware of. Hmm. Every agency's seeing pretty significant increases. So... So no, there wasn't.
Well, even if you're not cutting spending, you don't necessarily have to raise spending. I mean, and again, just looking at this session, have Democrats done anything to make life more affordable for its citizens or its businesses?
Well, this is the thing about this session, Mark. We haven't accomplished anything that means something to everyday Oregonians. We have not made our schools better. We're going to fail on infrastructure funding with transportation because of the extreme position they've taken on House Bill 2025. We've passed a lot of bills that make it even less attractive to do business in the state. And anything that matters to huge swaths of rural Oregonians, like repealing the wildfire maps, they're saying, no, we're not going to pass that unless you agree that to use your kicker to put out wildfires on lands that we're refusing to manage.
Yeah, and that's the most offensive part of that is they could be getting all of the funds that they need to do wildfire suppression if they just simply managed it and again, followed their own laws that requires them to harvest timber on those lands.
So they've really, this session, they've taken a go-it-alone approach. They have not been interested in working with us and finding common ground. Anything that we feel is important for our constituents is, well, you're going to have to find money for that because the money's not available. You're going to have to agree to a new tax or take the kicker or things like that. While the issues that they deem important are being funded. And that's why we hear from Oregonian after Oregonian saying, I'm paying taxes and I do not feel I'm getting my money's worth for them because the priorities are warped.
Yeah, they're absolutely warped. Okay, it is time for a break. All of these taxes and these massive spending increases are happening at a time when the federal government is trimming its budget and cutting back on expenses. And it's not just the federal government, it's other states as well. And they're doing that by finding fraud, waste, and abuse. You can probably guess where Oregon lines up on that, but we'll talk about it anyway. And welcome back. We've been talking today to Representative Ed Diehl from House District 17 about this insane session where Democrats have taken the same approach to caring for Oregon and Oregonians and their businesses as they do with Oregon's forests. Let them burn. But there are some things that you can do about it. And Ed, before we get going, though, you guys have launched a new website, No Tax Oregon. Is that correct? Give me the correct address on that.
Yeah, notaxor.com. You can also get to it by notaxoregon.com. And I'd encourage everybody to go there, sign a letter. It takes 2 minutes to sign a letter to go to your legislator to urge a no vote on House Bill 2025. And you can also go there and donate because this is a massive outreach effort statewide to reach as many legislators as we can and urging them to vote no on this package. So if people are willing to donate as well as sign that letter, that's awesome. But notaxor.com. And that's an initiative by the Oregon Freedom Coalition.
Good. Yeah, and we'll make sure we link that up on today's show page as well in case you didn't catch that. This week is 15-25. And just head to iSpyRadio.com and we'll put that down in the links mentioned section. And so I had mentioned in going out of that last segment there that the federal government, in contrast to what Oregon is doing, they're actually cutting their budgets and cutting their spending. And in large part, they're doing that by looking for fraud and waste. And before we get to that, though, I just have to ask you this, because before you got elected, you were a businessman. I mean, you had started a successful business. Looking at what Democrats are doing to this state, would that make you consider moving your business out of state? Or if you had started that business in another state, would you even be considering moving the business here to Oregon?
Yeah, well, both of the above. I would consider moving my business out of state, and I don't know if I would start it in Oregon. Really, the climate here, it just continues to get harder and harder for a business to set up shop in Oregon, and especially hiring employees. It's just It's to the point of being ridiculous. Yeah. And I hear from a lot of businesses. I hear from my old business. And it's we've got not only the rules and regulations about employees. There's prevailing wage legislation that is going along that would require manufacturers to pay prevailing wage and benefits for work that goes on in their shop, even though it's not on site. Even though they're not part of a union, there's so many things that Oregon is doing to make it less and less desirable for business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's not just the direct taxes and the fees. You've got a situation now where the major insurer that insures most of the ski resorts here in Oregon has announced they're pulling up stakes because the regulatory environment makes it too expensive to do business here. And so you've got ski resorts depending on that insurance company. And now that they've left, they're not going to be able to do their own business. I mean, this is
You're
just
right.
punitive,
yeah.
no matter what how you look at this.
It is punitive. And Oregon needs some just really simple common sense recreational liability reform. And because of the power and influence of the trial lawyers on the Democrat majority, they killed a bill that was on the House side that my committee heard. That bill was killed. But thankfully, there's someone on the Senate side is bringing it back. I'm hopeful that we'll actually go through and get passed because and it's not just ski resorts. It's any place that offers outdoor recreation.
Sure.
It could be horseback riding. It could be hiking. Oregon's liability laws are kind of an outlier.
Yeah. And just so people know real quick, what was happening was when you go to ski, you sign a waiver that says you're not going to hold the ski resort responsible if you get hurt on the slopes. But instead, despite that waiver, those lawsuits were allowed to proceed anyway. Pretty insane. So all of these taxes and this massive spending increases are happening at a time when the federal government is trimming its budget and cutting back on expenses. And a lot of that is through looking for fraud, waste, and abuse. And some states are catching on. I should say other states are catching on. Is Oregon part of that hunt for fraud, waste, and abuse at all? I mean, has that occurred to them?
Well, the Republicans are interested. And if you've tuned into any of the Oregon Doge podcasts, we've discussed some of that. I've been on a few of those episodes. But as far as the legislature doing anything serious to look at that, no.
Hmm.
No, there has not, which is really unfortunate. So that's why that's one of the reasons why the budget and spending just continues to go up. There's no real attempt to get our agencies focused back on mission, which is what we tried to do, which was the Republican solution for the ODOT challenge. Get them focused back on their mission. We can save hundreds of millions of dollars that can be redirected toward things that Oregonians actually want.
Yeah.
We could do that in every agency.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think there's no end of waste there at the agency level. One of the things that they are looking at is Medicaid fraud. And this is finally being investigated. DOGE finally kicked that door open. But now states are starting to look at this, and state after state are looking at these. Billions of dollars are being wasted in fraud. And for an example, in Ohio alone, they found 10,000 millionaires who were on Medicaid. One person ended up billing, they fraudulently billed for a year spent in a hospital. But Democrats instead have been using the mainstream media to twist what is happening to program gullible seniors out to all of those Defy Democracy protests, these No Kings protests, and to protesting against exposing that fraud, making them think that Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, which is not at all the truth. I mean, it's the exact opposite. They're trying to save these agencies' money. I mean, you know that when defending fraud, like the Democrats are, it kind of projects the image that you're part of it.
Yes. And my understanding is the state of Oregon is resisting the request to actually just provide detailed records.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make you feel like they're trying to hide something. I don't know if they are, but it's a valid, we know the fraud has taken place in other states. It's a legitimate request to the state of Oregon. Let's look at this. And Oregon, we know Oregon spends $1 billion every budget cycle on providing free health care for non-U.S. citizens, whether you're here illegally or legally, $1 billion a year. And the concern is some of the Medicaid dollars are also being used for people who are in the country illegally. And that's so that's what the feds want to look at.
Well, and yeah, and that is one of the things they're looking at, the illegal immigrants. You had mentioned that they're resisting. Are they at all inclined to look at that fraud in terms of the illegal immigrants? And what happens if they refuse?
Yeah, you know, I have not dug into this issue, and I haven't had discussions with the Oregon Health Authority on it. So
okay.
All I know is that they are resisting giving those records to
the feds. Surprise. Well, you had, speaking of fraud, we're going to take a look in our final segment here with Ed Deal at Oregon's screwed up election system. Stay with us. And welcome back on our final segment now with Representative Ed Deal. He's from House District 17. That's the east side of Marion County and parts of Linn County as well. In case you like what you hear and have more questions for Ed, he is having a town hall meeting this Thursday, the 26th, at the Snow Peak Brewery at 6 p.m. in Staten. You'll also want to visit the website NoTaxOregon or NoTaxOR.com. And you can fill out a form. It'll send a nice petition directly to your representative to do what you can to help stop HB 2025, the transportation package, the largest tax increase in Oregon history. You can also donate while you're there. That'd be a great idea. So, Ed, as far as the fraud is concerned, that extends to not just investigating the spending fraud, but there's been a lot of concern by many people, myself included, that Oregon may have some fraudulent voting systems. In particular, there was a hearing this last Wednesday, June 18th, down in Eugene at the federal courthouse where Judicial Watch is suing the state of Oregon to clean up its voter rolls. Judicial Watch has said that Oregon has the dirtiest voter rolls in all of the states. And so the state, of course, is resisting this, saying that Judicial Watch and its plaintiffs do not have standing in this. There was an issue earlier this year where they announced that a contract to clean up the voter rolls and to clean up really the overall election system was canceled because they are so over time and so over the budget. What do you know about this contract with No Ink?
Yeah, that was the Orvis project, also known as No Ink. And basically, to the new Secretary of State's credit, he realized that they were never going to deliver on a voter registration system that met their needs. And so they did a stop work order. My understanding, because I've dug into this and I got some information late last week, basically they're going to reevaluate the project needs. So they haven't developed a path forward. By the time they issued the stop work order, they'd spent $4.9 million on No Ink, and they'd spent $1.46 million on Gartner. Gartner had the project quality and risk contract to oversee the implementation. So we just blew through $6.5 million, basically, and have nothing to show for it. But at least Secretary Reed stopped the work.
That's encouraging that they at least stopped it, but we're yet again no closer to a better or improved election system. In case people aren't aware of this, when Judicial Watch says we've got the dirtiest voter rolls in America, they mean it. They have done some analysis just as part of preparing for this lawsuit, where by law, the National Voter Registration Act, you're supposed to clean up these voter rolls if people have stopped voting, and you're supposed to send them a notice. And if it never comes back, then you're supposed to move them into the ineligible file. You flag it, in other words. And then if they don't vote after two federal elections, they're supposed to be removed. So you're talking a period of about 8 years from start to finish just to get them moved. But in the meantime, we've had 15% of Oregon population move out of state or die or otherwise should have been removed. And yet places like Multnomah County, the most populous county in all of Oregon, has not removed anybody in that whole time. You can't tell me that people aren't leaving Portland.
Well, no, and we intentionally made decisions not to clean up those voter rolls.
Yes.
So we're in direct defiance of federal law. And I'm glad the feds have joined this Judicial Watch case. That's my understanding anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
Statement of interest. Chimed in. Yeah. And so I'm optimistic that this may move the needle and get get the voter rolls cleaned up. We know they're a mess. There's a number of problems with our system, but that's a big one.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was very damning when they had replied to Judicial Watch, because they wanted Judicial Watch had wanted the responses, how Oregon is tracking those responses to those inquiries as to whether or not people are still at those addresses and so forth. And they had said, well, it's going to take 5,000 hours to fulfill that, which is astounding, because, and also they tagged a minimum of $25 per hour. And I think the total bill was going to be $185,000. But 5,000 hours, one person working that job at 40 hours a week for 50 weeks a year, that's 2.5 years. I mean, that is an admission to how terribly screwed up these voter rolls are.
Yeah. So I'm very skeptical of that number, number one. And number two, we just blew $6.5 million on a software package and have nothing to show for it. Maybe we should have spent that money on cleaning up the voter rolls.
Yeah. Well, and the other aspect of that too is by saying it's going to cost 5,000, take 5,000 hours, it's admitting they could have been doing this all this time. And they just chose not to spend the money, but they would do it if Judicial Watch paid for it. I mean, again, I just think that is ridiculous. That's where Oregon is. All right. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. As I said, he is having a town hall this Thursday. It's 6 p.m. at the Snow Peak Brewery in Staten. If you'd like to attend that, Ed, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be back on with you.
Speaking of Oregon's incredibly dirty voter rolls and potential for election fraud, on Friday, President Trump called for a special prosecutor to investigate 2020 election fraud. There has been new evidence of China's involvement that the FBI knew about at the time, but did nothing. U.S. Customs had already intercepted 20,000 fake driver's licenses China had shipped to the U.S. to obtain fraudulent mail-in ballots. But of course, mail-in ballots are completely secure and couldn't possibly be open for fraud. We know because the Oregon Democrats keep telling us that. Finding out what really happened in 2020 would be a huge win for all Americans. It was interesting at that Judicial Watch hearing on Wednesday, even the judge himself, an Obama-appointed judge, said the purpose of the National Voter Registration Act was to ensure trust in our elections. In my opinion, the fact the state is doing nothing when it can do something is just reprehensible. People must be held responsible. Because as we say every week, the best information is you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.